Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your guide to everything new and noteworthy in the world of food and cooking. I'm your host, Kara Rona. Our guest today is Joel Gameron, national chef for Sur La Table and the star of the show Scraps. He's here to talk about reducing food waste. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
In the United States, 40% of our food supply is wasted. That's an incredible amount. How does that happen?
It's psychotic, right? And most of that happens with the consumer. So a lot of it is you go to the store, you buy some carrots, and a lot of those carrots go in the garbage, even though they're edible. So there's this big disconnect of what we see as trash and what we see as ingredients.
And I know that a lot of food waste happens throughout the production cycle, things like the ugly fruits and vegetables movement.
Totally.
Or I remember seeing this great French documentary in college about people who went around kind of taking all the misshapen vegetables. But again, like you said, all of us who have been faced with those wilted greens in the back of the crisper drawer feeling guilty know that plenty happens at home as well. So what are tips that you give people for trying to reduce food waste, trying to shop and store and cook smarter?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different ways. First of all, let me ask you, what's like a go-to recipe that you make at home? Like happens every week. Kara whips it up and everyone loves it.
I mean, I would say at least once a week I do some sort of pasta with sauce and vegetables, whether it's
okay.
Stuffed pasta or spaghetti or something.
Perfect. Okay, so my first thing to say to home cooks is make that dish. Make the stuffed pasta with the vegetables and save all the trimmings, all the scraps in a little bowl. And instead of tossing it, just kind of take a step back. Don't compost it. Take a step back and just look at it, you know? Look at those celery leaves. Look at the tops of the carrots. Look at the trimmings of the mushrooms. And there's potential there. Google it. Look on our show. There's so many options out there to get inspired. And try it, you know? These are new textures and flavors. Like a carrot top is like almost like a new herb for people. It's kind of like parsley, kind of like celery. So I would urge people, a great tip is make what you're comfortable with. And just kind of take a look at the trash. That would be my number one thing to say.
So one of the things that I do is I try to avoid peeling vegetables when I can.
Smart.
You know, it saves me work. And
yes.
Then the food waste part is kind of already in there.
Yeah.
So I don't even have to deal with it. But for people who are, you know, maybe a little bit more particular or serious about cooking than I am, who really want to prepare things the way they're supposed to be or the way that the recipe says, what then are we going to do with those scraps? What are some of your go-tos, kind of things to get people started that they can
make comfortable
with?
Oh, my gosh. Gateway scraps, we call them?
Gateway
we call
scraps.
Them gateway
like
scraps.
That.
You like that?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So gateway scraps are like the things that we all have. We've made these giant lists, a part of the TV show, of like, what do everyone have? So for example, stale bread are totally one of those things. You can rock out really easy breadcrumbs. But also think about like everyone eats meat, right? And when you cook a piece of meat, a lot of fat comes out of that meat. And all that fat hits the trash. That's good, clean fat. If you sear a piece of chicken breast, there's chicken fat in the bottom of the pan. Try tossing your potatoes in that instead of going and buying more olive oil. So what a lot of people don't realize is this is not just really cool for the planet. This is going to save you a ton of money. And this is going to be new flavors, new textures. It's kind of a new way of cooking. It's a new lens.
In the show, Scraps, you travel around the country working with food waste activists and chefs to celebrate local cuisines and create a menu out of food waste.
Yeah.
What's that like? What are some of the moments that are really exciting or the challenges about the show?
Oh, my gosh. The show has been a dream of mine for a long, long time. And so, yeah, we traveled across the country, 10 different cities with 10 different food waste champions. So in each city, we met up with someone who's already doing this. And they kind of took me around. I wanted to see the pulse of the place. So in Charleston, I met up with Brooks Wrights. He owns Leon's and some really cool restaurants down there. And we went oystering and we talked about shrimp shells and because those are the scraps that represent Charleston. In Santa Fe, I met up with Chef Jonathan Perno, this awesome Native American-based chef with just such a passion. And we talked about avocados, bruised and brown avocados. And what do you do with stale tortillas? Because those represent Santa Fe scraps. So it's what is the local scraps and how can we get locals to look at them differently is really the mission of the show.
I love that, too, that, you know, it kind of reminds you that food really has this sense of place, that just,
yeah.
Like, produce is different from town to town.
Yeah.
So, too, is what the food waste looks like.
Exactly. It completely changes from where you go, and people are more open-minded to talking about food waste that they're used to. You know, it'd be maybe a little bit difficult to sell salmon bones or a salmon head to someone in Texas, but you go up to Seattle and you talk about salmon heads, and they can relate to that. They have salmon on the table. So that was the idea, is like, can we make this a little bit easier for people to accept and get excited about?
And we started off by talking about how 40% of the food supply is wasted, which is pretty awful.
It's almost half.
It's ridiculous. So, you know, I feel like part of that is because the cost of food is so artificially deflated.
Yes.
Because of so many things about our food system here. But what are some of the other consequences of that? What are some of the other statistics or data or things that you tell people that really make them take a step back and say, wow, this is something I should care more about?
Totally. Okay, here's one that's kind of shocking. I'm not very sciencey. Are you a science person? Like, do you go deep into, like, the science of things?
I would say I'm like a conceptual science person.
What does that
mean? I'm like into like why things are cool, but I don't really want to memorize numbers or formulas.
Okay, cool. Well, so I would say I'm kind of similar.
Okay.
So when I started learning about composting, because I'm like, why do I care about this? If we get everyone to compost, should we cook our food scraps? So that was a big question. We got a lot of pushback of, dude, you don't need to go cook your tomato peels or your fish bones. Like, just compost it. Here's the deal. If you compost and throw a little bit in your backyard, totally fine. It's going to go right into the soil, and it's going to do what we think composting does. But a lot of composting goes to big compost piles. And because of that, they're trapped under each other. There's piles and piles of compost. And when you have piles and piles of compost, they can't get the oxygen they need to break down. And instead of creating really good things for the earth and nutrients for the soil, they create methane gas, which leads, it's one of the biggest leaders to global warming. So 20% of our landfills are food waste. That's literally almost a quarter of our landfills is this food waste. So everyone's asking, like, why do we care about using it? Why should customers or consumers care? We got to stop filling our landfills with food waste. It's not doing what we think it's doing. So that's one big statistic that got me a little shocked and kind of stopped me in my tracks. I think people relate to. How does that hit you? I'm wondering.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is sort of that sense, you know, we know we're not supposed to throw away plastic. We know we're not supposed to throw away things that kind of sit in the earth. But
yeah.
The idea that organic matter actually can hurt the environment if we're putting it back in the ground, I think that is new to people.
That's new. And I'm not saying, you know, if you eat an apple and you have an apple core, you toss it out of the window and you're on a road trip. That's legit. I'm like, that will go back into the ground. It's all good. But I mean, at home, piles and piles of food waste, restaurants. So it's just a different lens. I'll also say, it's above $1,500 a year that families lose in money in edible food waste. That's stuff that's good, totally safe to eat, that you're throwing away. So $1,500 a month, that's over $115. That's $1,500 a year. That's over like $110 a month. That's a lot of money for people. That's just going down the trash, going down the disposal. So
that can make a big difference.
That can make a huge difference. You know, you go buy a roasted chicken, save the bones, and make a beautiful chicken soup. And now you're saving so much money and stretching the dollar.
So I live in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy, and one of the things I noticed when I moved into my apartment was soon after a compost bin was delivered from the city to my
door.
And I'm going to be honest, I haven't been that great about doing it all the time yet. You know, we keep it in the freezer.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I think it's neat to think about kind of how that can happen at a local level. There's a lot of community gardens where I live.
Yeah.
Even the plants that we have on the windowsill get fertilized with the compost eventually. So the idea that, you know, you're not necessarily having to send your garbage out to this general vague sense of it goes somewhere and does better, the way we kind of think about recycling, what really happens to it. But it can really make a difference in your home, in your community, in this sort of thinking smaller way.
Totally. I mean, 100%. And I've actually teamed up with the city and the commissioner of sanitation. She's amazing. She's looking at this right. We're one of the only cities, West Coast is getting into it, that are asking people to save their food scraps. So it's an easy thing. Throw it in the bin. It's not going to go in the big bad landfill. It's going to go to the right place. So they're getting the message and trying to make it easier for people. I actually met her because they put a bin on my stoop. I also live in Brooklyn. And I Instagrammed. It was a really cute banana with a frowny face, like a banana peel. And it said, we're so sad you didn't put out your food scraps. And I Instagrammed it, and I go, because, dude, I used all my food scraps. I have nothing to put out there. And that's what sparked our kind of friendship and collaboration. So they're looking at it forward-thinking, and you're right. The more communities that get behind this, the better. So you use your freezer a lot. I think that goes back to what you asked. It's like, what's a great tip for people to do? Use your freezer. Because here's the deal. When you're cooking, you don't really know what to do with that scrap in the moment, and you didn't plan for it, so it's stressful. Pop it into a little bag, throw it into the freezer, and I'm telling you, it will make your way to its omelets. It will make its way to your stocks. It will make its way to your sauces. But it's a great call on your part. Do you use your freezer a lot?
I've been trying to more and more. And I think one trick that really helps me is labeling, first of all, because I got to buy some really pretty glitter Sharpies, and that really motivated
me to
do more of it. But also just kind of keeping track and remembering what you have, you know, flatten out the bags, stack them. They don't take up that much space. And then you can have, you know, here's some carrots from such and such date and throw them in whatever.
Totally. And I'm curious in your perspective, because we're in this place right now where it's like, you're right, the government's kind of getting
behind. Used to interviewing people from the show, I think.
I want to know.
I love it.
I want to know your perspective. Because you seem like someone who really understands the topic and cooks. And so how do we, like someone like myself who's trying to make this a difference in this space and trying to get people to look at something different, how do you make it not like a fad or something that's trendy and something that's more just sticks around and we're all behind? What do you think?
So the first thing I think is that something being trendy is not necessarily bad, right? Because usually what that means is that you're seeing people around you do something and you're starting to feel like you should do it too. So I think that that kind of social pressure can actually be really helpful for things like, oh, we compost now, or, oh, I feel a little bit weird throwing away usable food scraps now. You know, I think that worked for recycling. I think just the idea that it became a social norm really helped people be able to commit to it and do it in an unthinking way.
I'm with you, but do you think it's going to go away? Like, that trends come and go.
My hope is that as people begin more and more to understand the hidden costs of their food, as we, you know, have more and more information about factory farming and its consequences, about labor laws, about environmental consequences of subsidies on particular foods, and people start to learn more about the real costs and start to make more of an effort to buy responsibly, which often means, you know, maybe buying a little bit less food or buying food that's slightly more expensive, that then incentivizes people to use that food more. I know that, you know, if I buy a really beautiful organic whole chicken and it costs me over $20, I'm a lot more likely
to
make that stock the next day than if, you know, it's the Purdue that costs me whatever and I can just get another one tomorrow. I think the in some ways, you know, obviously the preciousness and the fetishization of food has a lot of negative consequences. But one of the things that can be good about it is that it kind of makes us maybe respect it a little bit more and treat it with a little bit more dignity, which I think is good.
I totally think that's good. And I think you're right. I think there's something about, like what you said, if you buy a chicken that's $20 versus one that's $7, there's something about the $20 one that makes you kind of pause and you're like, I'm going to use this bones and I'm going to make, like, you know, I'm going to do something more with this. That's what we're trying to do with the show, is we're not really trying to make you or have viewers make my recipes. I don't care if they make my recipes. It's totally cool. I kind of just want them to, like, see their shriveled limes or to like look at their bruised avocados or look at a brown banana. And instead of like just instantly throwing it away, having that value that you had for the chicken and just being like, what, like, I can make a really cool banana bread out of this, or I could like rock these out into a gorgeous pancake. And don't worry about my recipes, but just kind of like flip on a switch. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And I hope people are not still throwing away brown bananas, because you can mail them to me. I will use them.
Totally. And you know, the banana peels are really good too.
Tell me.
Yeah, we've made a jam with banana peels. A lot of countries in Southeast Asia are digging on the banana peels, I'm learning. So I'm researching all these new things. And think about like a banana peel. It's the symbol of trash. That was the logo that was sent to me on Scraps. And so, you know, even looking at a banana peel and thinking that there's flavor there that we can spread on our toast with a little bit of butter is kind of rad and exciting, I think.
I love that. And this time of year also watermelon rind.
Oh my gosh,
there's
the
a
best.
Lot of watermelon rind, and that can get pickled.
Yes.
And is really refreshing and tasty.
I just saw it grilled and then like really quickly pickled.
Wow.
So there's a quick pickle. So it does need some sort of liquid to kind of, because it's a little bit dry. But it was charred and grilled, and oh, it was so good. I saw that with cucumbers recently, too. You know when you have shriveled cucumbers in the fridge?
Mm-hmm.
You don't. I'm really bad at covering things. My wife hates me because of it.
Well, it'd be a waste of plastic wrap.
It would be a waste of plastic wrap, right?
Yeah,
thank you for it's really just laziness. But I saw someone char cucumbers, like really dark, and like this idea of just like grilling your scraps and bringing, like you said, making a nice summer beautiful scrap makes sense.
Yeah, I think especially this time of year, there's so many preparations that are so forgiving. Grilling something that's
totally.
A little bit past its prime, it's still going to be so delicious. Throwing anything in a smoothie, really literally anything.
Game on.
Doesn't really matter what the texture is.
I'm so with you. And thinking about salads, like, you know, like the stems of so many things, like think about like Swiss chard or collard green stems. I'm telling you, listen to my voice, you guys. Grill those like asparagus. Throw a little olive oil on them, and they get soft and kind of lush like asparagus. And you can chop them up and fold them into your kale, fold them into any beautiful light salad. So I'm really into stems right now. I don't know. I know that seems weird, but that's what I'm into right now.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I think also salad dressing. I have like
yes.
my little magic bullet blender. So every night I make salad
totally.
Dressing. And, you know, a pepper, a serrano pepper that's a little bit softer than
yes.
you want it to be to serve it raw, or, you know, half a shallot that's just languishing there.
Yeah.
I think you can put anything in salad dressing.
I'm with you. And, you know, it's interesting you said like, you know, a pepper. Okay, that made me think about what you said before, which is this idea of ugly produce. And there's this thing right now where everyone's blaming grocery stores. They're like, screw Whole Foods, screw my local grocery store. You know why? They're not carrying this stuff. So, Joel, you can go on TV and talk about buying this stuff all you want, but where do I find this stuff? And the reality is, the reason why they're not buying it is not because the government says you can't sell an ugly pepper. It's because we won't buy it. So why would they put it on their shelf? So we have to kind of band together and start demanding things like, when I go to a farmer's market, I ask the tomato farmer, where's your ugly ones? Where's your soft ones? Because I know I'm going to use that for a sauce or for a jam. And if you start demanding it, you'll see it starts making its way to the front of the table. And I predict, I'm throwing this out there, that in 5 years, 10 years, we're going to have ugly sections, really beautiful ugly sections of the grocery store. I think you'll go to the meat counter, you'll start seeing bones and skin, and we'll start being open-minded to this stuff. But it starts with us being interested in that stuff in the beginning.
Well, I'm going to have you back on in 5 years to see where we're at with that. But thank you so much for coming to
Oh, thanks
today.
For
so
having
fun.
Me.
Watch the show, Scraps, on FYI, on Amazon or iTunes. And you can also go to surlatab.com/scraps. And I think they have some great food waste recipes on there as well. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.